Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Become your healthiest self. It's time for Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Our world has changed dramatically. We are inundated with health problems that at one time were mostly age-related. Wasn't uncommon to see older folks being the category where most of these cardiovascular health problems occurred. Today, the wall has come down, and metabolic syndrome health problems are now spread among all age groups, all demographics, both sexes, and just about everybody is privy to these situations that are now starting to occur. So attention to our health for these health problems is key. And for high blood pressure situations, even more attention to detail, as its silent progression can get us even when we're not paying attention. My guest today, James LaValle, is a nationally recognized clinical pharmacist, author, board-certified clinical nutritionist, founder of the Metabolic Code Enterprises Incorporated, a web platform and practice solution enterprise launching air support and the Metabolic Code Assessment. In addition, he founded practices at Progressive Medical Center in Orange County. In 2001, he founded and operated LaValle Metabolic Institute, an interdisciplinary medicine facility in Cincinnati for 15 years, where he served thousands of patients using his metabolic model for health. Having over 27 years experience integrating natural therapies into various medical models, he is probably best known for his expertise in natural therapeutics application, drug nutrient depletion issues, and uncovering the underlying metabolic issues that keep people from feeling healthy and vital. Today with me, my guest, James LaValle. Dr. LaValle, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm so glad to have you here today. It's such a great platform to be able to give people information on some of the things that is, that are truly afflicting us as a nation, but some of the things that we think and we still try to shrug off as it doesn't affect me yet because I'm not in that age category. And boy, we couldn't be more wrong because you know, I've seen so many changes in my almost 40 years in the field and on the air for 34 years. I've been talking about things, and there was a period of time when we addressed everything toward the older category. So my question comes to you. Let's say we're talking blood pressure today and a lot of the associated health problems that are associated with blood pressure problems. How do you think it's changed in, let's just say, the last 10 years?
Well, I think we're finding out a lot more people have blood pressure problems than what we thought. I mean, that to me, I mean, I'm the same thing as you. I'm, you know, 36 years in practice, and, and you know, the statistics are kind of alarming for me. You know, it's, you know, one in three adults have high blood pressure, one in two adults over the age of 55. But I got to tell you, I find them all the time in practice when people come in. I mean, it, you know, and the thing about blood pressure that's so difficult, of course, is that it's known as the silent killer. So, you know, a lot of times you won't have characteristic headaches or redness of the face or dizziness that can go with blood pressure. And your blood pressure could be quite high. It puts you at a high risk of stroke and, of course, a coronary event. And I always tell people, you know, first sign of heart attack 50% of the time is death. So it's not good statistics. So for me, I think it's really the awareness has gone up. The accessibility with blood pressure monitors have gone up, you know, in-home testing. But I'll tell you, people still don't test their blood pressure.
Well, and I think the other thing we have to remember is that a lot of people still do associate this as that geriatric situation. And, you know, another, I think, misconception with many people is that there's a lot of different factors coming at us. Because, you know, if you were to poll 50 people and ask them, they would say that you had to be morbidly obese to have high blood pressure. And I've worked with people over the years that were thin, just very stressed, and some of a genetic predisposition, but had high blood pressure, hypertension, and were their ideal weight. And there's another thing that we just don't think about.
Yeah, without a doubt. I think you really are touching on something that's really important, is that, you know, we always kind of prejudice it, that it's all, if you're overweight, you get these kind of problems. You know, you get heart disease, you get diabetes. But the reality is you hit on a big, big topic, and that's the topic of stress. And you know, people are under a lot of chronic stress today. We're living in very difficult modern times. You know, two-income families, and oh my God, how many emails am I going to answer? Did I say the right thing on Facebook or not? You know, I got friends that are upset. You know, colleagues, and we're sleeping less. And what your nervous system doesn't realize is good or bad stress. All it realizes is that you've overstressed, And when you start to create more stress, you release more cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And it also means you release more adrenaline, which is your fight or flight response. And the problem with that is when you start to habitually release the fight or flight hormones, your blood vessels get stiff and they don't relax as easy. And hence, you start to get blood pressure. So you're right. You know, perfectly normal weight people, 35 years old. I literally just had an Armed Forces vet in the gym working out. They brought me in to kind of do some evaluations on some of their athletes. He came up to me, sat down. I did his blood pressure, 170 over 120. Wow. He had no idea. And that is a very high blood pressure, right? 120 over 80 being ideal. He needed to be actually medicated, and he had no idea his blood pressure was high. And he is a super fit guy.
You know, the thing that we have to kind of wrap our mind around is that our body utilizes the process of high blood pressure for function during the day. Our blood pressure goes up when we need the energy to stand up out of a chair. You know, it needs it for exertion in many different
that's
parts
right.
of our day. But, you know, when it's sustaining at that higher level, you know, I think that's where the problem comes in. And you're right. I deal with people all the time that, you know, I get them to finally go in and at least get a basic blood work done, which is like pulling teeth. And they'll come back and they'll say, Jeff, I have high blood pressure. And I'm like, really? I said, we've been talking about this. I said, you smoke. I said, you have a lot of cocktails. You live having your food served through the window of your car. You've got sodium up the kazooie. I said, you've got all these things going on. I said, you have a lot of the precursors, and you're very, very stressful. But they had no idea. And they were actually taken back. They were surprised. They were like, no way.
Right? Isn't that amazing how people will do that? And the thing is that, you know, and that's just that's the stress and the lifestyle piece. And then mm-hmm. we look at things like environment, you know, mm-hmm. the Veterans Normative Aging Study, you know, lead levels. You know, people, you know, we get things from the environment, and sure. lead is associated with high blood pressure. And so, you know, with the Flint, Michigan scare and what's going on there, we get exposed to things, and these chemicals affect our chemistry as well. So we now know that there is an environmental component to blood pressure. There's a stress component to blood pressure. There's a diet component. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously things like lifestyle, like smoking and not exercising. And then one of the big ones, you know, do you have enough magnesium? If you're not eating 12 servings of vegetables and fruit a day, you're probably not getting enough magnesium. And magnesium is highly associated. When your magnesium is low, you're at a very high risk of developing hypertension. And diabetes, for that matter.
You know, when we look at today's world, I remember when I first started in the field, and I remember when I did my first radio show, it was 34 years ago, and I've been on the air ever since. And what I talked about back then, I aimed a lot of the topics and things we and my guest we talked about were aimed at that geriatric condition. And I remember the mentality, and I remember personally going to a family reunion, and you'd have it outside in the summer, and you'd have those three picnic tables under the big tree where the older group would sit, and everybody else would be out doing their things. And that was the health altered situation. We had the bursitises and the rheumatisms and the blood pressures and the sugar problems, but everybody under that table was over 60. And our mentality back then, and it's so hard to change it today, is that I have plenty of time. I've got plenty of time to think about it. It doesn't really matter now. And I've got people in their 40s and 50s having major cardiovascular infarctions. They're having heart attacks and strokes and, you know, in their 40s and 50s. And that was just unheard of, you know, in the past. And here we are in this full-blown situation of metabolic syndrome. And the idea of blood pressure is that we kind of take away the intensity of it because we try to bring it down to something that's making it in our mind not as bad as it is. But it is bad, and we need to focus.
It's one of the primary biometrics to tell you whether you're well or not. I mean, the big thing when I'm teaching is getting people to understand that you know, when your brain is telling your heart that it has to pump harder because of the perceived threat, and you're pre-diabetic, and when you're pre-diabetic, you're making more insulin, and when you make more insulin, you release more stress hormones. And your vessels are clamping down, and you're not getting the blood flow that you need through your vital organs, like your kidney and your liver. This all starts to kind of compound on itself. And it's the people that we see today. You know, it's the metabolic syndrome people who do have, they're pre-hypertensive, they're pre-diabetic, they're morbid, they're obese, they're depressed, and they are, you know, in their 40s with complications of folks like they were in their 70s.
Right.
And, I think it, we really have to start to, empower people. And you know as well as I do, it's hard to get people sometimes to be motivated to create change. But when we don't emphasize how important something like blood pressure is, it becomes difficult because the consumer just thinks, I'll just take a blood pressure pill. Well, guess what? Blood pressure pills a lot of times have side effects. And so I like people trying things like your magnesium pull-up, exercise, change your diet. I mean, aged garlic extract probably has the single best dietary supplement statistics and studies on it. I think the fourth trial just came out showing that it lowered blood pressure an average of 11 points of the higher number, the systolic blood pressure, in 6 points on diastolic, and that was in people that had resistant hypertension. They were already medicated. So aged garlic extract has been studied in humans, and it actually gets the vessels to be more pliable again. And so that's the real, I think, interesting piece, is that we have to work on our blood vessel health, just like when you have hoses, a garden hose that gets kinked and it's left out in the sun and it's rotting. And now you try to turn it on and the water doesn't go through it well. Well, your blood vessels are the same way. You got to keep your blood vessels healthy.
Now, let me ask you a question. Although this is a very, very knowledgeable audience, and we have a lot of people that are very, very health-oriented. We have a lot of professionals that tune into the shows here on Radio MD. For the people that I'm going to get this show out to that are still learning, could you talk a little bit about exactly what is going on with blood pressure, obviously, and maybe in a 101 kind of style so that people can say, oh, now I get it?
Sure. Well, I mean, so the big thing is that your heart has to pump blood mm-hmm. through your blood vessels. And there is a more or less a resting state of your blood vessel and a tense state of your blood vessel. And so, when you do your blood pressure, you're measuring the differences between the resting and the pressured state of the vessel wall. So your blood, it's kind of like a garden hose when you turn it on, and that hose has to expand a little bit to allow the water to go through it. And so what happens is when you get under stress, the stress hormones and chemicals cause your blood vessels to basically constrict. So and what's happening is you're trying to conserve blood because they think that, your body thinks, hey, there's a white tiger coming. We got to get ready here. And so that what happens is that as the vessels stay constricted because there's too many hormones that are coursing through your body that are telling you that you have to stay in high alert, the vessel wall is not able to relax. And what that's called is endothelial dysfunction. Endothelium, the inner lining of the artery, stays inflamed. It doesn't allow for the relaxation of that blood vessel. And so your heart has to pump harder to get blood to go through that hose because the hose diameter is smaller because it constricts. So you're trying to pump water through a hose that's 1 inch versus 2 inches. A lot more water comes out the 2-inch hose. Same thing with your blood vessels. Your blood vessels end up, when they're constricted, having to have a lot more force behind them. You got to raise the pressure, just like you raise the water pressure to get the force out through that small hose. You got to raise your blood pressure to get the blood out into your periphery and to get out into your organs and tissues.
I have this philosophy, I call it the orange cone syndrome. And, out here in Las Vegas, it seems like we're perpetually in an orange zone state on our freeways. It's all of a sudden you're driving, you've got 4 lanes down to 3 lanes, down to 2 lanes, down to 1 lane. You never know why, but everybody's having to restrict and kind of flow into that 1 lane. Obviously, like you said, it restricts the movement. It takes your pressure to the point where it's having to work harder to force 4 lanes of traffic through a 1-lane kind of run through, and oh my goodness. And you know, it is so interesting that just doing some of the basic things that I know you've talked about, because I follow you, and you know, just a little bit of exercise and a better diet and some basic nutrition can help to increase that, I guess, the diameter, the size of that. So maybe you'll get back to 2 to 3 lanes again. And as blood flow is going, your heart finally can take its vacation.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, it's all about when your vessels relax, now your heart doesn't have to beat as hard. Now your heart rate goes back down. Because here's the thing I always try to teach people is that you got to look at your heart rate, because your heart rate is telling you how stressed out you are. And also how fast your heart is beating. And then there's, what's your blood pressure like? How hard does your heart have to beat to get that blood to go through there? And, you know, these are very, very basic concepts. But once again, magnesium status, so important. Mm-hmm. And people, if they aren't eating a lot of fresh produce, and even when they are, the guarantee of having plenty of minerals in there is not there anymore. So I'm really big on getting people to make sure they get in enough magnesium in their daily routine. And, you know, Kyolic Gauge garlic, my gosh. You know, I like it because it has a lot of other benefits. For example, when you're under stress and your cortisol goes up, you tend to lose bone mineral density. And one of the things that happens when you lose bone mineral density is you plaque your arteries more. So you trigger more inflammation in the inside of your arteries. As your stress hormones are going up, you're losing bone, and that calcium just doesn't leave your body. When you lose bone, you plaque your arteries. When you plaque your arteries, you're going to go down to that one-lane highway. Mm-hmm. When you go down to that one-lane highway, the blood pressure's got to go up. And so I think, you know, if I had a message out there for people listening, it'd be, if you don't know your blood pressure, get out and do a morning blood pressure and do an evening blood pressure. And understand if you're still super stressed out in the evening because your blood pressure just keeps going up, or are you able to chill out and calm down during the course of your day and allow that blood pressure to come back down again?
You know, the interesting thing is perception is something that is very, very prevalent in our society today. And it's kind of interesting. I was talking with a group a couple of weeks ago, and about half of them were true-to-form vegetarians and vegans, meaning they did it right. They measured their foods. They covered all their groups. They were very healthy. They filled all the gaps in their nutrition. And many of them for years never hardly did supplementation, but they know the changing of the quality of food in the world that they're now supplementing. And there were two or three that were there that were self-proclaimed vegetarians, but all three very overweight, and all three of them were talking about how they had been diagnosed with high blood pressure. And they had this idea that because they had no animal products on their plate, that they would be exempt. And I said, well, let me clarify something for you in a very, very nice way. I said, you guys are not vegetarians, you're carbitarians. I said,
right.
I said, you eat tons of pasta and rice and all the starches. I said, you live on sugar, flavored coffees, cappuccino, frappe, grande, ventes every day. I said, you just don't have any animals on your plate. I said, have you realized that since you've been on this way of eating, although in your mind you're a proclaimed vegetarian, I said, the true vegetarians have my respect, as do the vegans, because it's a lot of work. You can't just put a title on something. And they just had a hard time, and all of a sudden it started to resonate. And I said, this is another reason why the blood pressure is up. I said, you're eating really badly, but you're wrapping it up in a very nice way.
Absolutely.
True.
I can't tell you how many times, like even when I go to the health food expos and I see how many gluten-free cookies are out, gluten-free breads are out, people still just eat way too much starch, and they think it's healthy because it's like, oh, because of the, oh, I'm vegetarian. Vegetarian, you know, there's such a, you know, I think somewhat of an erroneous association with health, because there's very few people that do it right, as you said. And the thing about it is you just have to realize once you start eating a lot of starch, you are going to raise your glucose levels in your bloodstream. The single biggest thing that plaques your arteries is postprandial rises in glucose. So the more carbs you eat, the more starch you eat, the more sugar you're eating, now, like you said, carbitarians, the more they do that, the more you're driving being insulin resistant. And by default, when you're insulin resistant, your vessels constrict. And it's interesting, diabetics are, you know, dialysis centers are filled with diabetics. And, you know, and it's the, one of the reasons for that is that when you're a person with diabetes, your blood flow to your kidneys is restricted and you damage your kidneys. So once again, you think, oh, that's not going to be me. That isn't going to happen. Well, let me tell you, you know, that you've got dialysis centers going up like fast food restaurants. Because 50% of the U.S. population right now is either diabetic or pre-diabetic. 38% insulin resistant, 12% diabetic. A full 40% of the U.S. population now of women. So 40% of women are now considered obese. That's new NIH statistics as of last week. 35% of men. We are rampant with the issues of, you know, cardiometabolic risk. Am I going to have a heart attack? What's my blood pressure like? Am I going to be diabetic? Am I going to end up on dialysis? These are all really important, and that's why it's important to have a strategy to protect your blood vessels. You know, grapeseed extract, another interesting botanical, you know, grapeseed extract. But the chemical compounds that are in grapeseed extract actually help support the vessels.
You know, let me ask you a question. You've talked a lot, and I've read many of your studies, and you've talked the idea of this metabolic syndrome. And, you know, it's kind of, when I try to explain it, I explain it as kind of like an umbrella where we have different kinds of health-oriented situations underneath that umbrella. And some of them, if not focused on, will lead to another one, which will lead to another one. And before you know it, you have a grouping of these cardiovascular metabolic syndrome health problems. And, you know, is it that they feed off of each other, or do they just deplete our body so bad that another one just comes in, and before you know it, you're dealing with blood pressure and blood sugar? And how are they related?
Well, I mean, that's a great question, because sometimes you'll get people that are, you know, just have blood pressure. Almost always, people with diabetes end up with cardiovascular disease. And that's because when you're diabetic, you have a lot more oxidative damage. You have a lot more inflammatory chemistry in your body. So you damage your blood vessels at an accelerated rate. So, you know, it's kind of like, so you can eat your way into being diabetic, you know, easily. You could have it induced by being on maybe certain drug therapies, maybe lifestyle as well. So, you know, hey, I don't exercise, I'm eating too much, you know. But the thing is that all, you know, all of these problems kind of crop up together. So once my blood sugars start to go up and my cortisol levels are elevated, I start to lose bone density. And as that's happening, I trigger more risk for calcification. And then, and as my blood sugars are going up and I'm triggering all these inflammatory chemicals and excitatory chemicals, it starts to affect my blood vessels. So they kind of go hand in hand, and that's where the individuality takes place, right? It's like some people express all the bad stuff, and that's our MedEvs folks. And look, that's at least 60 million Americans right now. Metabolic syndrome, so pre-diabetes, pre-hypertensive, and obese. That's a huge number. So this is not a rare occurrence that this constellation of issues start to pop up. And, of course, other things are going on at the same time because, you know, people are on medications. Maybe they're on multiple rounds of antibiotics, or they're taking proton pump inhibitors as an acid-blocking drug because, you know, they're eating poorly. They're not chewing their food. And you know, as soon as you're doing that, you're altering your chemistry, and you're starting to just stack up all of these issues all into kind of, you know, they create almost a domino effect where all of a sudden, yeah, blood pressure, diabetes, joint ache, my mood's flat, I've gained weight. You know, it's what we hear all the time, right? You hear it all the time.
Are we leading the pack in the world, the United States, for these problems with our health? I mean, are we in the number one slot for blood pressure problems, or as the world starts to adopt some of our ridiculous standard American diet practices and they start to come on board with our great tasting, terrible food, are they starting to close the gap?
Well, they are closing the gap, right? Take a look at China. I mean, China is closing the gap now. You know, India always had diabetes problems because they had a carbohydrate rich vegan diet, right? And so, you know, people don't like to talk about that, but you know, their very high rate of diabetes because of their reliance on rice and a great deal of population is vegetarian. But they surpass us on diabetes, but I'd have to say overall we are leading the pack really hard at how to stay unwell as long as you possibly can, but we could keep people alive a long time.
You know, and I think the realization and the big reality check is something that a lot of us do have to focus on because, you know, we all have that mentality. We have that mentality that we are exempt and it's not us, or we don't have the time to deal with it right now. And us guys are the worst. We don't talk about our health. You know, women are different. They'll talk about anything to do with their health anywhere to anyone. They're just so easily, you know, comfortable with talking about their health, but us guys don't. And many times, a lot of men will talk about it more when it relates to things that are more important, erectile problems and energy problems and, you know, hormonal right. problems and sleep problems. So those are the things that they will be talking about. I want everyone to know that we are talking today about cardiovascular problems. We're talking with Dr. James LaValle, and we're talking about getting healthy and getting a grip on the things that are important, learning about blood pressure, realizing that we need to go in and get it tested. And if you think you're at risk and you have some of these factors, there's a good chance that you are. But it's a better understanding to have your numbers and know where you are, because then you can approach it in a healthy manner with more decisive decisions. So do the things that you need to do to get healthy. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is Talk Healthy Today on Radio MD. For more information on this and all of my segments, visit my show page at RadioMD.com. I thank you for tuning in. Be well.